This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. Coral reefs are the rainforests and the breadbaskets of the ocean. They supply fish for food, tropical fish for aquariums around the world, and exotic species for traditional Chinese medicine. The result is that tropical reefs are being stripped of wildlife. In the second part of a National Geographic radio expedition series on coral reefs and the aquarium fish trade, NPR's Christopher Joyce visits the Philippines, where scientists and local people are trying both to conserve the reefs and profit from them.
At midnight, the lantern fishers of Hondayan, a tiny island in the southern Philippines near the island of Cebu, come down to the shore. Two fishers, Nestor and Digoy, pump their gas lanterns and set them on the bows of their outrigger canoes. They're off to find a fairy tale creature, the seahorse. On Hondayan, the seahorse is no novelty. It's a livelihood. Nestor says midnight is a good time to fish today. The tide is full and the sea is calm. He says he's been doing this for 25 years. We paddle offshore and the island disappears in darkness. The sky is pinpricked with thousands of stars. With snorkel and mask, the divers roll into the ocean. And I follow.
What the fishers are doing is holding their breath and swimming under the water, pulling a rope attached to the bow of the boat, dragging the boat behind them as they look for seahorses. Instead of regular fins, they've got pieces of plywood strapped to their feet. Let's go see if they found anything.
The divers' lamps cast an underwater moon glow onto mounds of brain coral, spread-eagled pink starfish, tube sponges rising like organ pipes, and tiny jellyfish. There's a crackling sound like crinkled cellophane. It's a reef sound, the divers say, but no one knows what makes it. They dive, then come up to gulp air, and then down again.
It's amazing. The stamina of these guys. They're dragging this boat. Coming up for air about every 30 seconds. They do it for hours at a time.
After about half an hour of this, the divers finally get lucky.
What do you see down there?
It's a seahorse.
There's a seahorse there?
Yeah.
Nang Digoy, isulti na mo kung saan nakita niyo.
Hazel Parnas is a Filipina biologist who's dived here with the lantern fishers for years. The seahorse wraps its tail around her finger, seemingly unafraid, and it wriggles.
Supposedly there's a pouch up there. This is the stomach. If you see there's a pouch here, that's a male, because the male are the ones carrying
the babies.
The juveniles are the babies, so they are the ones who get pregnant.
These seahorses are monogamous. They the male and the female, they mate and they stay together?
Yes.
And for how long?
So they're capable of reproducing. It's like forever.
There are 33 different species of seahorse, all members of the genus Hippocampus. What they lack in size, says biologist Amanda Vincent, they make up for in plain weirdness.
Seahorses are the only fish that will hold your hand. And let's face it, male pregnancy is pretty attractive.
Vincent sits on the rail of an outrigger canoe anchored hard by the Danahon Reef along the island of Bohol. Vincent came here almost a decade ago to study seahorse biology.
It's almost hard to imagine now how naive I was 10 years ago, thinking that by studying seahorses I would somehow help secure the future. But they're not enough. So you start maybe by working on seahorses, which are lovely fish, and then gradually you realize that you're actually going to have to work on lots of other species because it's all interconnected.
Vincent realized that the reef here, like others around the world, was dying from overuse.
It was really very, very damaged. When we would swim here, we'd go 5 minutes without seeing a single fish. And when people have fished too much and are not getting enough catch, they start to use really damaging fishing gears. Gears that take everything, gears that perhaps use dynamite.
Although dynamite fishing is illegal, there are other pressures on the reefs. The demand for dried seahorses in traditional Chinese medicine consumes some 25 million of them a year. And live seahorses have become increasingly popular among hobbyists who keep aquariums, especially in the U.S., Europe, and Japan. To supply that demand, Philippine divers sometimes squirt a cyanide solution into the coral and stun the fish. Unfortunately, the cyanide sickens or kills the coral. Vincent, now at the University of British Columbia, started Project Seahorse to lessen the pressure on the reefs. It's funded by conservation groups and large aquariums. Among the first steps was to discourage cyanide use and establish sanctuaries along the reefs where all fishing is banned.
And now the fun thing is that the other two villages on this island have also set up sanctuaries, and we're getting into this really positive competition. Each village wants to have a better sanctuary than the one nearby.
A lantern diver gets about 25 cents for a seahorse, a fraction of what it sells for abroad. Even so, dealers here once earned enough to send their kids away to college, says Merovic Pajaro, who came here to study the trade.
And when the trade began, they were really telling me about seahorses being caught in basin pools, so that was how they counted their seahorses. Even the children were able to collect it just from close by the shore.
But now seahorses are scarce, so much so that last year, Amanda Vincent convinced nations that are part of the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species to limit trade in seahorses. The Philippine government is now considering whether to end the trade altogether. But Vincent says that could actually hurt these communities. She says they can police the seahorse trade themselves. Lantern fishers have, in fact, created a collective called the Kamara to do that. At a meeting in a thatched gazebo on the island, Kamara members say they've stopped the cyanide fishing, but that's not quite enough. Carlos O'Carroll is a Kamara member.
Mga ang silinga namo ubin ang tagaamo gyud may illegal fisher.
Our neighbors and people in our barangay are also illegal fishers. And until now, they are still illegal fishers.
One thing the community has done is build guard stations, huts on stilts that stand over the reef like tall wading birds. Paid guards watch for dynamite fishers or people poaching in the reserve. One sunny morning, a priest, Omari Gavas, boards a boat to visit the guardhouses and offer a blessing and a splash of holy water.
The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Salamat sa tanan. Pagpakpakan ang tanan.
By the end of the day, the priest, with an enthusiastic entourage of local villagers, has blessed three new guardhouses. Several guards, with uniforms, take their places above the reef. It's a new idea, a reef sanctuary with guards, but it's catching on. Despite the fact that these reef animals have been on the planet longer than humans, it will take new ideas like these to protect them from us. For Radio Expeditions, I'm Christopher Joyce, NPR News.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR News and the National Geographic Society. Tomorrow, a floating market for exotic tropical fish.